Good morning. I'll be reading Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. And so this is our last morning with this book. So I'm reading from the CSV. This is a plea to repent. Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words of repentance with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our iniquity and accept what is good, so that we may repay you with praise from our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will no longer proclaim our gods to the work of our hands. For the fatherless receives compassion in you. I will heal their apostasy. I will freely love them, for my anger will have turned from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily and take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His new branches will spread, and his splendor will be like the olive tree. His fragrance like the forest of Lebanon. The people will return and live beneath his shade. They will grow grain and blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, why should I have anything more to do with idols? It is I who answer and watch over him. I am like a flourishing pine tree. Your fruit comes from me. Let whoever is wise understand these things, and whoever is insightful recognize them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. But the rebellious stumble in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me add my welcome to everyone. This morning I'm Mike Strode, another one of the pastors here. It's my privilege to be with you all this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn to that passage we just heard read. Thank you, Carrie Jane, for reading that for us. Hosea chapter 14. You know, it's been said that repetition is the mother of all learning. It's also been said that repetition is the mother of all learning. Most of us don't really get something. If you're like me, I know it's true for me. We don't really get something until it's really drilled into our brains. Maybe it's kids learning to read or Olympic athletes training repetition over and over and over again for countless hours to be the best that they can be. Repetition is good. It's helpful. And it's certainly also true in the Christian life. There's so many times in Scripture that God repeats himself on crucial matters, doesn't he? Think of how many times God says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Hundreds of times. How many times God tells us in so many different ways that he loves us. And yet so often we struggle to get the message. Because the sad truth about our need for God to repeat himself over and over isn't just that we are forgetful, and we are, but it's also because we tend to keep repeating our sin. We see this in Scripture, like the cycles of sin repeated over and over in the book of Judges. We see it throughout the prophets as God repeatedly calls his people to repent. Well, we come to the end of our series through the book of Hosea. If you've been with us for the last several weeks before Holy Week, maybe you felt like Hosea has repeated himself just a little bit. And it's because he has. He started off with this object lesson, this powerful object lesson, where God called the prophet Hosea to marry Gomer, an unfaithful woman, as a powerful picture to the nation of the way that they had treated God in their unfaithfulness. And then throughout the book, God, through the prophet Hosea, warns the people of steep consequences to come for their sin, but promises that one day they will be restored. And so we have this dual message of repentance and restoration that's repeated throughout Hosea. And we see that pattern here in the final chapter of the book. Hosea sums up his message with this final plea for God's people to turn back to him. He shares God's heart, God's desire to bring this total restoration and healing. Now, when we come to this text this morning, maybe we're tempted to turn our brains off because we've heard all this before. Maybe we have heard it all before. Or maybe we're tempted to close off our hearts because, if we're honest, we know we need to hear this message over and over again. But I want us all to be encouraged from Hosea chapter 14 this morning that God graciously invites our continued repentance, not in condemnation, but because he desires to bless us. He desires to be with us. And so our response to God's plea in this text is not just a one-time thing, but it's meant to be repeated over and over in the Christian life. So let's pray together as we turn to Hosea 14. Father, we thank you for this powerful book in Scripture that speaks through the centuries, not only to your people Israel, but to us. So, Father, as we turn our attention to these last words of the prophet Hosea, would you open our hearts, open our minds to the truth that you want us all to see? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hosea chapter 14, if you have that in front of you, I'd like us to start not at the beginning of the chapter, but at the end. Just look down to verse number 9. Let whoever is wise understand these things, and whoever is insightful recognize them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. This last verse of Hosea is sort of like an epilogue to the book. Whether Hosea wrote it or even someone else who compiled Hosea's writings, the message is clear. It's to the reader. Everything that you've just read, everything you've just heard in this book of Hosea, I want you to consider it. Now, we might be tempted to shrug off the message, in part because we're not Old Testament Israel. Now, the message was written to them through the prophet Hosea, but it's inspired scripture, and as this verse makes plain, it's to all of us. This is for all of us who want to be wise, who want to follow in God's ways. If that's us, then verse 9 is inviting all of us to respond to God's word this morning. Now, as we just scan down the chapter, verses 1 through 3 are the call to repentance, and then verses 4 through 8 are this promise of coming restoration. And I'm going to suggest as two simple imperatives. Again, we've seen these themes throughout the book of Hosea, but let me just anchor us this morning with two really simple imperatives that should be repeated throughout our Christian life. In verses 1 through 3, we're called to bring words of repentance. Bring words of repentance. And then in verse 8, we're called to bear fruit. Okay, so real simple this morning. Bring words, bear fruit. So first, bring words of repentance. Look again at verse number 1. Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words of repentance with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our iniquity and accept what is good, so that we may repay you with praise from our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses. We will no longer proclaim our gods to the work of our hands, for the fatherless receives compassion in you. So we've seen that repentance is at the core of Hosea's message. Israel, return. Turn, turn. This root word for return shows up 25 times throughout the book of Hosea. That's what repentance is. It's a turning. Turn to God, or in this case, return to God. Why? He says, you have stumbled in your iniquity. That word stumble also is used throughout the book. It paints this picture of a staggering, a falling because of sin. Now we see this dramatically in our day when a leader or a celebrity or public figure is just publicly shamed and humiliated because maybe something they tweeted about 10 years ago is uncovered, and so they're publicly disgraced. Those are dramatic examples, but we've all experienced this stumbling in our lives because we've all sinned. We felt the weight of loss, of defeat. We've experienced the natural consequences that come as a result of sin. We don't like to dwell on these hard truths, but sin is ugly. As James in the New Testament says, in no uncertain terms, sin gives birth to death. But with that in mind, notice God's word to rebellious sinners. That's who he's talking to. It's not get away from me. It's come back to me. Sometimes we forget repentance isn't just a turning from. It's a turning to. We're turning from sin, but we're turning to the arms of God. Verse 2 provides our key phrase for this section. Take words, or bring words of repentance with you when you return to the Lord. Now, the repentance here is implied. The text literally, in your translation, may reflect this. It just says, bring words with you. The repentance here is implied because that's what the words are that follow. Hosea gives us the words, specific to Israel of his day, but applicable to us. Say to him, so again, here are the words to bring. Say to him, forgive all our iniquity and accept what is good so that we may repay you with praise from our lips. So the words that Hosea is calling us to bring before God starts with just falling on the mercy of God and asking for his forgiveness. Now when we repent, when the Spirit of God opens our eyes to the truth of our sin, God begins to transform our desires. Look at the clarity again of verse 3. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses. We will no longer proclaim our gods to the work of our hands. Have you ever experienced this before? It's like waking up from a dream. Wait a minute. How could I have done this? How could I have thought this was ever a good idea? How could I have ever thought Assyria would save us? How could I have ever thought this thing that I made myself is a god? See, sin deceives us into believing lies, and by God's grace, when we repent, when we turn from sin to God, he opens our eyes to that truth. Why did I ever think chasing after money and success or power or pleasure was actually going to satisfy me? Why didn't I listen to the people who warned me not to make this choice or that choice? Why am I wasting so much time trying to fashion a fake image of myself to gain popularity or approval? How did I let this addiction get a foothold in my life? What is it for you? And to Hosea's point about Assyria not saving us, we have an election season coming up, right? Let's remember, no political candidate will save us. If you know Jesus, maybe you remember seeing with this kind of clarity when the Holy Spirit first opened your eyes to the truth. But repentance is not meant to be a one-time action. We struggle with sin, and we will on this side of eternity. And so this text calls us, and even the repetition of these themes throughout Hosea, call us as God's people to adopt a posture of repentance. Repentance is not meant just for when we reach rock bottom, when we suddenly realize we're eating slop with the pigs like the prodigal son. That's a great time for repentance, but it's not meant for only that time. We need to see repentance as a regular and healthy and good part of our Christian life. We need to keep coming back to the Father regularly, daily, hour by hour, sometimes moment by moment. Repetition is the mother of learning. It's part of our discipleship. And there's no condemnation, there's no shame in admitting we need constant repentance. This is just honesty. We're human beings. And again, how does Hosea assure the repentant? Look at the end of verse 3. For the fatherless receives compassion in you. If you're familiar with the book, if you've been tracking with our sermons through this book, condemnation is expected here. Condemnation is deserved in the context of this rebellious nation. But Hosea anchors this invitation to bring words of repentance. He anchors it in the very character of God. Bring these words of repentance to God. Why? Because God is ready and waiting to hear them. God is compassionate. He is slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. It's another thing we see repeated throughout Scripture. And sometimes, even as believers, our shame can keep us from turning back to God when we've sinned. Or we delay our repentance for a while because we feel like, you know, God just doesn't want anything to do with me right now. But God keeps repeating his call over and over to repent, to come back to me, because he's compassionate. If he wanted to abandon us, he might just say at one time or not at all, just leave us to our own devices. But he doesn't do that, does he? Our God pursues us in love, and he says, return to me, return to me. When you sin tomorrow, repent tomorrow and return to me. Bring words. Let's talk. He's compassionate. He's ready to forgive. This text is calling us to return to God. Don't wait. For the fatherless receives compassion in you. The ESV says, in you the orphan finds mercy. This calls us back to Hosea's first chapter, when the prophet was commanded to name one of his sons Lo Ami, which means not my people. That symbolized the nation who had turned against God. They had rejected their God, their king, their very source of life. And so in that sense, in the symbolism of this name, not my people, Israel would wander for a time as if they were spiritual orphans until the day they would turn back to God. And Hosea 2:23 promises that there will come a day when God will say to Lo Ami, you are my people. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, we are called to bring words of repentance to God over and over again. In Christ, your status as a son and daughter of God is forever settled. You're no longer an orphan, but we are called to continue this posture of repentance in a heart of fellowship and love for God. Now, if you've never put your trust in Christ, this passage for you is clear. You're being called by this text, by the Word of God, to turn to the Lord in repentance. The Spirit of God will open your eyes to the reality of your need for Him, the reality of your sin, the beauty of Christ, and the forgiveness that He offers. The Holy Spirit will draw you to find forgiveness from the Father. Jesus promised in John chapter 6 that whoever comes to him will never be cast out, never. So bring words of repentance to God and find him compassionate. Now the second imperative from our passage is bear fruit. We move from the call to repentance to the promise of restoration. So let's look again at verses 4 through 8. This beautiful picture of blessing, and it's in the form of a love poem. And the speaker changes suddenly to God himself. Look at verse 4. I will heal their apostasy. I will freely love them, for my anger will have turned from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily and take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His new branches will spread, and his splendor will be like the olive tree. His fragrance like the forest of Lebanon. The people will return and live beneath his shade. They will grow grain and blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, why should I have anything more to do with idols? It is I who answer and watch over him. I am like a flourishing pine tree. Your fruit comes from me. So first, God boldly promises to heal Israel's apostasy in verse 4. Now, apostasy is a strong word. This isn't just sort of dabbling in other beliefs. This is a total embracing of, or so to speak, rejecting God completely. And this is where Israel is. They've completely abandoned their God at this point in their history. We've seen the case presented against the nation throughout the book of Hosea. You would think after the case is made, after the verdict is delivered, the final words here of this book would be God casting off his people forever. But instead, God says, I'm going to step in and I'm going to heal the reason for my judgment in the first place. Do you see this? Look again at verse 4. This way, God says he will freely love them. He says, for my anger will have turned from him. There's that word turned again. But catch what he's saying. Why is God's anger going to finally turn? Because, oh, they finally got their act together, right? They totally just changed their ways. No, because God says, I'm going to step in and heal their sinful hearts. God says, I will step in and cure them of their spiritual blindness. The very reason for God's judgment in the first place, God steps in and says, I'm going to take care of that. As commentator Dwayne Garrett writes, the book of Hosea repeatedly calls upon the people to choose to turn back to Yahweh, but at the same time implies that they cannot turn back without a saving act from Yahweh. What a picture of the love of God. God wants his love to flow freely toward us. For him to do that, he himself has to remove all the barriers, and that's exactly what he's promising to do. Just walked through Holy Week, where we remembered the Son of God putting on flesh, stepping in, and removing the barriers between us and God. Hosea points us straight to the gospel. This amazing promise of restoration is possible only by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This restored relationship is pictured so beautifully in the language of thriving trees and blossoming flowers, the land producing abundantly. God is showering his grace on his people, and God's people become deeply rooted with every blessing. Look at the last line of verse 8, God's last word to his people in this book. I am like a flourishing pine tree. Your fruit comes from me. What a powerful statement to end with. For a people who have looked to everything else but God for their source of life and blessing, God says, remember where your fruit comes from. So the imperative I gave us a few minutes ago for this section was a little misleading. If you remember, I said bear fruit. But that sort of implies that we're the ones that do the bearing. God says here, your fruit comes from me. So maybe we should say, bear fruit that God provides. Bear fruit from God. Like Israel, we can never bear fruit if we forget the source of life. God's desire is that we bear fruit for him, and yet he's the one who has to grow it. John the Baptist picks up these themes in Matthew chapter 3, where he tells the Pharisees to produce fruit consistent with repentance. He says, don't presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. True repentance brings fruit with it. Just like in Hosea's day, the Pharisees of Jesus' day were practically orphans, spiritually speaking, claiming their status as God's chosen people, as children of Abraham, and yet without hearts turned toward God. And just like in Hosea, we need God to work in our hearts to make our repentance possible, to bear the fruit. Jesus makes this even clearer in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Sound familiar? Your fruit comes from me. Now, because our repentance is a divine work, and because God is the one who must produce our fruit, we might think, well, then I don't have to do anything. That's not at all what Hosea is saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. This isn't just, okay, well, I'm just going to let go and let God. As Dallas Willard says, grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. See, we need God's transforming work in us to repent. We need God's transforming work in us to bear fruit. But God asks us to cooperate with the work he's doing. We cooperate with his work by abiding in Christ, by obeying his commands, by drawing near to Christ in his word and in prayer, by committing to Christian community, places where we can know and be known. All of these are avenues where we cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work of transformation. And Jesus tells us to make every effort to abide in him, to follow him closely as his disciples, not in sinless perfection, thus the call to repent. He knows we will continue to sin, but this is a lifestyle of repentance and bearing fruit. Repentance and bearing fruit. So consider your own walk with God lately. If you're not walking in intimate fellowship with him, it's not God that's putting up the barrier. Hosea 14 is pretty clear about that. This passage reveals God's heart toward his people. And let's not forget the context of Hosea. These words were written first to a people who had essentially turned their backs entirely on their father, living as orphans, living as spiritual adulterers. How much more do these promises fall on those who have trusted Christ as their Savior? So we as followers of Christ should take every encouragement from Hosea 14 that God's love flows freely toward us because Jesus stepped in and removed the barrier. If you've trusted Christ, you are forever forgiven. You are forever reconciled to God. You are a son or daughter of God forever. He's not surprised that we will still struggle with sin. He has made every provision that our fellowship with him would remain intimate. Now, for some of us, that fellowship right now at this moment isn't what it could be because of sin that we have allowed to take hold, to take root in our lives. So maybe you would be convicted by the Spirit this morning to confess a sin to God, to bring that to him, to ask him to transform your heart and give you true repentance. And some of us are in a place where we just need to believe that we're already forgiven. If you've confessed your sin to God, if you've brought words of repentance to him, then you need to believe the truth of the gospel. You need to draw near to your Father. We need to recognize the ways that lies of shame and fear and lies from the world creep in and distort our view of God and the way that he views us. Do we not see from Hosea 14 God's heart toward us? Toward me, toward you personally, that the fatherless receives compassion in him, how much more his sons and daughters in Christ? We need to rest in the truth of who he is and who we are in him. And as we go, we will stumble, we will continue to repent, and then see him bring fruit in our lives. Because repetition is the mother of learning, and it's no different as disciples at the Master's feet. We've seen God repeat himself throughout the book of Hosea, calling us to repent over and over, not to condemn, but because he wants to be with us. He longs for a closer relationship with us. He says, keep bringing words of repentance because I'm ready to listen. I'm waiting to show you compassion. Keep coming to me as your source of life and blessing because I want to bring fruit in your life. Let whoever is wise understand these things, and whoever is insightful recognize them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Let's pray together.